I'm Alastair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I am Gaius. Germanicus is here. We're in Londinium. It's cool. It's autumn here in Londinium. The Thames is turbulent. The centurions retired have long since gone home with their families. And winter's coming on. However, the news is grotesque from the 21st century and in a way more companionable here in the first century AD, because we know what's going to happen to Domitian, our emperor. We'll talk of him in a moment. However, we're going to begin with the events of the 21st century that tumble without coherence. It's one darn thing after another. The headlines right now say, suspect in Coachella Valley Trump assassination attempt denies accusation, supports ex-president. That's a headline from the Denver Post. It begins to describe something that's incoherent right now. We're just going to leave it alone. It's fog of politics with 3 weeks to go till the national election. There was an arrest. A man was said to be carrying firearms. The man was said to have a pass, a counterfeit pass, to a VIP sector. And there was a rally. And former President Trump was a mile or a mile and a half away. None of that is fixed, but that's the reporting we have right now. We'll set that aside and go to the big news before this happened, which is Starship, a success never seen before. The launch of Super Heavy and Starship in the fifth test from Boca Chica. Starship was inserted into orbit, and in the meantime, Super Heavy did something that was only speculative until this moment. Super Heavy came down under command of the SpaceX, fired its engines to slow it, and then settled into what is called the chopsticks, and was recaptured on the launch pad. Engine shutdown, perfectly ready to have another Starship put on top and launch again. Nobody ever did this. Nobody ever tried this before. In the meantime, Starship went on to do half an orbit and then descend under controlled descent, taking an enormous amount of heat on its underside where it has a blade of material to redirect the heat, and then landed under controlled conditions exactly where they wanted it, in the ocean. Not on land. That's next. They landed in the ocean, and they'd set buoys on all sides of the spot they'd picked out to land, and the buoys had cameras. So we saw Starship come down and settle into the ocean, and the steam spring up. Starship sank, and the engines turned off. In other words, a perfect launch. So I come to you, Germanicus, not excluding the news about a third assassination attempt, just setting aside for the moment to say that Musk, at the Butler rally some days ago, was risk on. He did what no rich man has to do. He committed himself to one side only. And he did it in a fashion that was energetic, enthusiastic, and clearly upsetting to half the nation or more. Certainly upsetting to half the elite who command Washington right now. And yet, he did it, and then he put together the fifth test, and it's a triumph. So what we have here is this question. Does Trump have, thanks to Musk, the mandate of heaven? Good evening, Germanicus.
Good evening, Gaius. This is the starkest, most sharp and unbending and starkest meme possible of the contrast between America's original heroic ethos and the new and so far ascendant therapeutic ethos. And had this happened 40 years ago, the country would be in wild and ecstatic celebration. And yet, Mr. Musk was able to create something that wasn't done by government, that was done by a private enterprise. And it was so stunningly successful, it arced over anything that a corrupt ridden NASA has not been able to achieve. And at the same time, the success is not being celebrated in our media, but rather look at the response of California to this success. The California Coastal Commission has denied the Air Force plan to give SpaceX permission to launch up to 50 rockets a year from Vandenberg Air Force Base in Santa Barbara County. Simply because of Mr. Musk and his political affirmation for Trump. This represents an absolute break between the vision of America as a nation that, in the words of Kennedy, could go to the moon within just a few years, and then who knows beyond that. Star Trek, you know, where no man had gone before. The whole vision of America that had been propelled after World War II is now in direct conflict with a vision that seeks to leash or even destroy that vision. And this is a metaphor for not simply the divide in America, but the powerful opposition between two visions. And they're essentially religious visions. They are deeply held. You and I, we're from a time that can treasure and remember the vision of going to the moon and then to the stars, potentially. But the other vision now would have us give that up and go to a very different understanding of our civilization and way of life. So in many ways, what Mr. Musk has done is he has staked out an electric calling for those who still believe in the original heroic vision to claim it and rally around it and to fight against the bureaucratic vision of a therapeutic society that would have no great and glorious visions to aspire to. And this becomes the kind of leitmotif of America at this point in our national life.
It's a puzzle, Germanicus. It's a puzzle that we grew up with a tradition of success. And what I see now is the celebration of failure. It's odd. It's packaged as you use the word therapeutic, it's much more articulate than failure. It's packaged as necessary to make up for the errors of the past. Is that polite enough?
Yeah, that's polite. And frankly, to make up for the sins, shall we say, of the past, we would destroy the society that we have today. I mean, you can look back at the BLM riots of 2020, and you can see the way in which the blue establishment embraced the destruction, enormous destruction, $21 billion worth of destruction.
You remind me when they pulled over Grant in San Francisco. That was it for me. Good Roman that I am. To pull over Ulysses Grant's statue as if he was an enemy of the United States.
There have been so many of those renunciations of the very fabric of our life, because we went through a terrible civil war and we lost 600,000 people. And when I say we, the Confederate States of America were part of America, and they are today. And yet there is a move to reject them and to reject the reconciliation, and that you see that in the tearing down of the statues of Robert E. Lee. And it's got to the point where even the statues of the great Ulysses S. Grant are considered too heroic and need to be brought down. But the result is what you're seeing today in California, in Minnesota, in Portland, Oregon, Seattle. You're seeing a complete unraveling of social life.
So does Trump have the mandate of heaven via Musk? Does he?
One of the ways to understand this, and I totally endorse your term, the mandate of heaven, is one of the things that Musk has done that is critical here, and that goes beyond any kind of simple appearance, as he jumped at Butler, for example, is that Musk has created a kind of overarching symbol of what Mr. Trump himself represents as a someone who would revive and renew that heroic ethos.
Yeah.
And that heroic ethos cannot be expressed through political speech, and yet it is incontrovertible in the form of majestic performance, a la the SpaceX. And it is a celestial confirmation, which I think is what you're saying, in the sense that the heavens are supporting this vision of what America can be. And that's pretty overwhelming.
Detail here. And then we're going to turn to Rome. Russia. On the way down, the data was continuous. There was no interruption, which would ordinarily be true because of communication. You have to wait to reconnect when it gets through the atmosphere, the upper atmosphere. But because of Starlink, there was never a break in data download.
Right.
The same Starlink we're talking on right now.
Yeah.
That's Starlink. And in the course of the last 2 weeks, Musk has been, I don't want to use too strong a word here, chided by authorities for boasting that he gave away Starlink in Florida. And Trump and Musk has reminded authorities that if they had permitted him, he would have spread Starlink through the parts of the South that were very badly damaged by the previous hurricane. I just mentioned that Musk is in all things, and he can be all things to all people, but not authority. He is now understood to be an outlaw by authority.
Yes, he is the absolute contrast to a bureaucratic, authoritarian world. He is a stentorian, primal figure who represents the core of what America was in its original form. And the fact that there is the promise for that to continue today, that is the essence of what he represents.
Germanicus is Michael Vlahos. I'm Gaius John Batzer. We're going to turn to The war in Ukraine, which is in the news, and the transition here is blunt. Russia means to win. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest is Politics.
Anish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
Chances are, you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info, and if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.